It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
We're happy to be joined this morning by Erica Harold. She was a 2003 Miss America. She's an Urbana native, graduate of the University of Illinois, graduate of Harvard Law School, former congressional candidate, and joins us this morning. Erica, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Well, Erica, let's start with, let's go back a little bit to you having run for Congress in the primary on the Republican side. This was the 13th district that handles some of East Central Illinois across, kind of across the Southern Illinois and some of Southwestern Illinois. You were running on the Republican side against the incumbent Rodney Davis in the primary, and just was a really, really odd situation that you got. Not only did you not get any support from the Republican Party in that area, but they, you know, in some cases were even demeaning you, which it just really made no sense, I'm guessing, especially to you.
Well, you know, I learned pretty quickly that political parties work very hard to protect incumbents. But I think the positive thing that I learned from it was how to develop my own organization, because you're right, I really wasn't able to rely upon the party for resources, and by the end I was able to develop a really great, dedicated group of volunteers.
And it was also a case, and I had talked with you about this previously, that you didn't think it was necessarily anything that Rodney Davis had done a bad job or was doing a bad job. You just thought with your skill set that this is where you would be best served to help not only your portion of Illinois and the state of Illinois, but our country in general.
That's true. And because I took that perspective, it enabled me to run a positive campaign as opposed to tearing somebody down. And that helps the party, I think, going forward, regardless of who wins the primary, because they're not saddled with a situation where the person who's not prevailed has made so many negative allegations about the other person. And one of the things that I felt really proud about was the number of people who said, you promised at the outset that you'd run a positive campaign, and you actually followed through. And it was gratifying to see that there were a lot of people who really were tired of seeing those advertisements, those terrible commercials on TV where people are just tearing other people down.
Yeah, it got to be just absolutely pathetic. And in our part of the state, you know, getting some of the television stations from the Quad Cities, this race for the Iowa Senate between Joni Ernst and Bruce Braley was that may have been worse than anything we heard between the governor and Bruce Rauner. It just got absolutely ridiculous on almost all fronts.
Well, I can only imagine, because you're bombarded from two states seeing that. But I think leading up to the election, no one had any idea whether the GOP was going to be able to reclaim the Senate. And so each of those Senate seats were so hotly contested. So I feel sorry for anyone in your viewing area.
Erica, you know, as we talk about what you have aspired to politically, there's still a whole nother world out there that it sounds like you've been you bounced back pretty quickly from a setback politically to be able to still do ministry work in prisons, I'm told, and just to try and be the best person you can be in this world. What are some of your passions at this point in life?
I am very passionate about prison ministry. I've been involved for about 10 years, and I sit on the board of directors of the late Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship Ministries, and it's the world's largest outreach to inmates and their families. And fairly soon after the election, I actually was involved in this great event where we went into a prison in Michigan and brought in some of the children of the inmates. And the prison was very gracious in allowing us to put on sort of like a carnival day for these children. And it was so meaningful because so many of them don't get to see their mothers who are incarcerated because they're separated by quite a bit of geography. And so being able to be part of something that creates that bond and that reunification for families was incredibly meaningful and gave me great perspective. I think when you run for political office, when you lose, obviously it's disappointing, but when you're involved in something that you see the real world impact, you understand that even if you're not in a position of political influence, you can still try to use whatever influence you have to try to make a difference.
Hmm. Do you think that a lot of people are unnecessarily afraid of going into the prisons to help out, just maybe have a misconception of what they're going to find there?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of people's only experience or idea about prison is what they see on television. And on television, they have those shows late at night where they lock down or lock up and they take you inside prisons. And of course, they only show the most graphic, gruesome things. And so people assume that if they went in there, they would find a lot of scary, dangerous people. But the reality is that a lot of people have made a series of poor choices that maybe were within their control, maybe were not, but are like so many people that we encounter. And I have never had a negative experience in prison, and I go into both men and women's maximum security prisons. I've been on death row in both men's prisons and women's prisons, and the inmates are so grateful that they've not been forgotten and written off. So instead of being negative, they have an extreme sense of gratitude.
We're talking with Erica Harold. She was the 2003 Miss America, Harvard Law School graduate, congressional candidate. And, you know, one of the things, and when I had first spoken with you, Erica, I had, you know, mentioning the Miss America crown that you won. Some people, especially a political candidate, that might be something that they would try to separate themselves from, because I don't know if they think there's some stigma attached to it, which I don't. But it's something you absolutely embraced.
I did embrace it because I realized that regardless of how I chose to perceive the crown, that it would be a focal point for a lot of people. And instead of trying to deflect attention from it, I needed to explain why I decided to pursue it in the first place and give people a sense of how it's been a defining part in my life in a very positive way. What most people probably don't realize is I decided to enter the pageant because I'd been accepted to Harvard Law School, was really excited until I saw how much it was going to cost, about $175,000 for 3 years, and there was no way that I had that money. My parents certainly didn't have that money, and I had a college advisor who encouraged me to be creative and try to find a way of paying for it, and so I decided to enter the pageant that year in the hopes of earning enough scholarship money to pay for my time at Harvard Law School, and I know statistically speaking it doesn't sound like a great plan, but in my case it actually panned out. And I wanted people who were considering voting for me to understand that I wasn't somebody who grew up competing in pageants, but I was somebody who tried to use creativity and tenacity to accomplish some things that seemed outside of my financial means.
Mm. Well, and I guess you embraced the opportunity you've had, because so many people go through their life and never really get a platform, but you had that opportunity to bounce off of that into other things. And I know professional athletes go through that a lot too. They're able to establish foundations and things like that and do some good in the world that maybe they otherwise would not have been able to do without that notoriety. And it sounds like you've been able to use that Miss America situation for that.
I really have tried to do that, because I won when I was 22 years old and had no idea how long people would pay attention to the title, but in speaking to other former winners, it's a title that goes with you for the rest of your life. There aren't that many women who've been Miss America, and so what it means is that you're afforded this platform or this microphone to focus attention on issues that are important. And so I've done work with prison ministry, but I've also been really active in efforts to try to prevent harassment and bullying in schools. I was the victim of harassment myself when I was younger and ended up having to leave a school because of it. And so I do try to go into school still and talk to young people about standing up for each other, treating people with kindness, and encouraging victims that you're not the sum total of what other people think about you. You still are deserving of respect and to be treated with dignity.
Talking with Erica Harold, she's a 2003 Miss America. She also ran for Congress in the 13th Congressional District in the primary. Erica, you've spent some time, especially since the primary, you've had a lot of people contact you. You've done a lot of the Sunday morning political shows and other cable news networks, been on as an analyst and as a guest. So let's talk about politics a little bit. Starting with the election Tuesday, here in the state of Illinois, one, were there really any surprises that that you saw. For me, I wasn't really necessarily. We still don't know what's happening in the going to happen in the treasurer's race, but overall,
that's right.
You know, I was maybe slightly surprised that Bruce Rauner won, because just the way this state has voted as of late. But it just seemed also not so much an indictment or an endorsement of the Republicans, but more of an indictment on just what's been going on here in the state of Illinois.
Well, I was surprised by, not necessarily that he won, but by the margin. The polls leading up to the race made it seem that it'd be 0.5% for one person or the other, and this margin of victory was significantly greater. But I think you're right that there was this real dissatisfaction with the status quo and this sense that anything has to be better than what we currently have in Illinois. I mean, that's a sentiment that I heard all of the time when I was on the campaign trail. People could not necessarily pinpoint the exact same policy that they were troubled by in Illinois, but there was this sense that we have a lot of great resources, we have a lot of great people and colleges and universities, surely we can be doing better in our state than we currently are.
Hmm. Well, and that, you know, the question, there's so many issues out there, and I guess there always has been in America, but it seems like maybe now a little more pressing, certainly from a financial and maybe from a moral end too in this country. As you ran for Congress, and I guess you couldn't do it unless you really felt like you could make a difference. Tell us about your thoughts when you first considered doing that, and what you thought you might be able to accomplish in doing it.
I'm a firm believer that you don't earn the right to complain about government unless you're willing to try to be involved in some way. And not everyone can obviously run for political office. Maybe you're involved volunteering. But I felt that if I had specific things that I wanted to see changed in our government, then I had to be a person of my word and try to actually be actively involved in changing things. And my hope was to try to bring something different to the political dialogue. I got so tired of seeing people on both sides of the aisle simply denigrate other people and other people's ideas and not be constructive and respectful of other people. And many years ago, when I was thinking about running for office, I wrote down a list of my political values and then my core personal values. And a couple days before I announced for office, I took that list out and read them again to make sure that I would stay faithful to those things, because the last thing that the political process needs are more people who have negative things to say and aren't willing to try to be constructive.
Talking with Erica Harrell, she's a native of Urbana, Illinois, a graduate of the University of Illinois, also a Harvard Law School, in 2003 Miss America. She ran for Congress on the Republican side of the primary for the 13th Congressional District. And Erica, you had mentioned a little bit ago about the bullying thing and that it had happened to you. And I'm guessing that in part that was because of you growing up being of mixed race. And I'm guessing it happened on both sides of the racial spectrum as well. Was that part of what went on?
It was racial harassment and sexual harassment, and harassment that was just focused on the kind of negativity that a lot of young people face, where you don't even really know why you're the target or the victim of it. And for me, it happened in the ninth grade. It was name-calling, teasing, taunting, escalated all the way to a death threat, which ultimately made me feel very unsafe being there. And I couldn't say exactly why I was the target, but I think that's very common with people who are victimized in that way, where all of a sudden they just go to school one day and something has changed within the social dynamic of the school, and they find themselves being victimized. And it's something that a lot of people experience, but they're very ashamed to talk about it. Oftentimes when I share my experiences, adults will come up to me afterwards and say, I had something similar happen when I was younger, and I had no idea that I was still carrying that negativity into adulthood with me. So it's something that I think is particularly challenging, especially now with the advent of social media. Cyberbullying is becoming an issue of great concern for both schools and parents alike, and I'm doing some research because, from a legal perspective, trying to figure out who's responsible for what kids post on social media is something that is a gray area in the law.
Yeah, and certainly your heart goes out to especially kids that are going through that, because having gone through it yourself, you realize that I'm sure there are a lot of days, if not months, that you probably woke up in the morning just dreading going to school because of that.
So true. When you know that you're going to be embarking into an environment where people are going to treat you in a very cruel way, it's the last place that you want to go. And oftentimes, schools don't take it as seriously as they should. And so you have a little kid who's sitting there in class trying to focus on this, whatever topic is being taught. They're being taunted and teased, and the teacher may not be doing anything to stand up for that student. And so it places a lot of responsibility on a young person who is still trying to develop the social skills to navigate.
We're talking with Erica Harold. She ran for Congress in the 13th Congressional District in the primary. And looking at nationally also what happened on Tuesday, I found the most interesting thing after the Republicans took control of both the House and Senate, the president more or less came out afterwards and almost sounded like, you know what, I really don't care what the American people said. I've got my agenda, and, you know, if I have to use executive power to get it through, that's what I'm going to do. Is that kind of what you took away from what he said?
I did not take from it that he really had thought through what the American people were saying. And it might have been helpful for him if he waited another day, because I'm sure it was tough for him to watch those election returns. It had to feel personal. The Senate candidate in Kentucky would not, the Democratic Senate candidate from Kentucky would not say whether she voted for him or not. And so I'm sure that had to sting for him personally. But I think one of the messages that the American people were hoping to send nationally was that they do want constructive things to happen in D.C., and they don't want either side to be abusing power. And I think that if he tries to do things through executive orders, that's really going to infuriate the American people. I cannot tell you the number of people that I met on the campaign trail who were so bothered by what they saw as an overreaching executive administration. And they were tired of overregulation. They thought that administrative agencies had entirely too much power. And so if he wants to further inflame the American people, pursuing a path of executive orders would do that. And I hope that he takes some time to think about it and understand that he still has two more years, and try to engage Congress in a way that doesn't involve saying, it's either my way or the highway.
Well, and with the Republicans in charge now, you know, they have their opportunity. This is their opportunity to do something and do something leading up to the 2016 presidential election. In your opinion, what do you see? Do you see them getting things accomplished? Because I'm kind of worried, and I know a lot of people are. It's not some of the people that got elected, especially the new people that are going to be going in. It's the leadership there with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell that you worry a little bit about, that they seem like at this point they've just become complete Washington D.C. insiders.
I hope they can get something done during the next 2 years, but I share your concern that I don't know if the current personalities that are in D.C. really have the political incentive or the will to move forward, because it seems that there's been deeply divisive personal drama that has happened in D.C. between the two parties. And we have new people that are being brought in, but we haven't replaced many of the personalities that have been involved and been involved in that obstruction.
Talking with Erica Harold, she ran for Congress in the 13th Congressional District in the primary. Just one other thing I wanted to touch on, which I also have found kind of interesting. I know you were not running because you wanted to be the first black female Republican in Congress. Mia Love didn't run for that reason either. Tim Scott did not run to be the first black Republican senator. But that's something that's obviously being talked about a little bit. And one of the things I was noticing kind of looking at the TV this morning, one of the things they were talking about with Tim Scott is that the NAACP is not even really recognizing their accomplishments. Do you find that rather strange, or in this political world, are you not surprised?
You know, I wasn't aware that they hadn't recognized that accomplishment. And I would hope that people could put partisanship aside and recognize accomplishments anytime people are able to achieve something that says something good about our country. And I think when you see first, like a Mia Love, regardless of whether you agree with her political persuasion, it should make you feel good about where we are as a country, that in places where we have not previously been willing to or had diversity, that we now have that. And I think that should make us proud as a country and proud of who we are. And one of the byproducts, I think, of a divisive political environment is people often feel like they can't say positive things about people on the other side because they're giving up something. And hopefully we can get to the point where we can hold the political ideals that are important to us, but still allow room to say, good job, well done, and be proud when people accomplish things that reflect well on the country.
Very, very well put, Erica. We want to thank you so much for your time again this morning. We really appreciate your input. And should we be looking for you anywhere politically in the future?
I haven't ruled it out, but I don't have anything specific that I'm aiming to run for at this point in time. I know my parents and family hope that I don't do anything for quite some time because political campaigns are extremely difficult on families in particular, but it was a really positive experience, and if I felt like there was a place and a time where I could serve, I would certainly consider it.
Very good. Well, Erica, thank you again so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.